Hello and welcome to episode 27. Welcome to episode 27. I'm so excited, y'all. As y'all can see down at the bottom of the screen, we got this veteran back. Tiffany's back in the building, Tiff Jones.
And if y'all, hey, y'all.
Go ahead, introduce yourself. Anything you want to say?
Hey y'all, this is my second podcast. I told y'all I would be back. I'm just good to be back and actually talk about some things that, you know, go on with Black women or, you know, people that are in the age range of 30. So I really had a good time last time, so I'm glad to be back.
All right, and this is, I can't wait to talk about like women in relationships, because this person, Alexa Wright, she and I have like our meeting story was really some different. So Alexa, introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Alexa Wright. I am from Atlanta, and I currently live in Houston. I don't know what else I'm supposed to say.
Okay. Y'all, tonight, as Tiffany sort of alluded to, we are going to be discussing Black women. This quote that I'm going to read to you really quickly is from Malcolm X. It says, "The most disrespected person in America is the Black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the Black woman. The most neglected person in America is the Black woman." I decided that I needed to talk about this. Because I've been seeing different things happening, and specifically with vice president candidate nominee Kamala Harris, there's been like so many different things said about her. Oh, her mom's an Indian, her daddy, I think her daddy's Jamaican. So she's not really Black and all this other stuff or whatever. And I remember I saw something the next day after she had been announced, where Charlamagne the God from the Breakfast Club, he said, now is the time to protect her. Regardless of what we feel about how Black she is or whatever, now is the time to protect her. What do y'all feel about like how like people have been so derogatory toward her? And mainly I want to talk just like for the first little bit, like how Black people, the things that other Black people have said, or people that you've seen of other people of other colors that have said about her.
Which one you want to go? So I'll jump in. I actually do agree with Charlamagne. But when it comes to the mentality of Black people, I think we have been so enslaved mentally for so long that we look like we're doing like a crab in the bucket mentality. Like you don't see other races like going against their race. They actually, you know, bind together to actually, you know, try to like overcome. Prime example, let's talk about it. Trump. You don't see his people going up against each other, whatever. They're doing everything in their power to come together and get him back together, versus we have as a race the opportunity to make history, having the first Black Indian vice president woman. Like, that's big. And I literally had to get off Facebook last night because I had people that was like, oh, well, she's not Black and she's not this. I'm like it, to me, it's a crab in a bucket mentality. And I think that comes from us being enslaved so long that, you know, people feel like it's not okay to be for your people. So it is crazy to me.
Alexa, what do you?
Yeah, I agree. Somewhat. I think that what is like devalued is like the importance of representation, and I think like a part of the pushback with her selection as a nomination is like her prior track record, and I think Tiffany was saying some part, and like you had said how Charlamagne said, like, some of this more so has to do with like, okay, but now like this is like the current situation, so now let's think about like what this means for like little Black girls seeing her like on the ticket in a similar way, honestly, that it reminds me of like Michelle Obama, and how like now I believe like something that's possible for me based on like representation of this like Ivy League educated, first ever first lady that was Ivy League educated, who was a Black woman. And I think that like, once again, regardless of like maybe policies or something like that, it's like that representation like is important. And I think that like as a people, we should like get behind her like for that reason alone, even if like some of the policy things aren't there. And again, like even just thinking about Michelle Obama, kids was mad that she took away the Hot Cheetos, okay? They was like, I love her, but I want my Hot Cheetos. Like, they was 99 hot, okay? That it was in no junk food in the vending machine. And to them, Michelle Obama called the vending machine people and said, take the Hot Cheetos out. Like, they wasn't trying to hear no, like, childhood obesity initiative. They didn't care about that, but they still, like, you know what I'm saying? But, like, that representation was, like, still important there. And the last thing I would say is, like, in full transparency, I actually am not on social media, so I can't speak, to, like, this visceral, like, internet reaction, because I don't engage with social media for a part of the reason, like, just be scared. Just, like, the very, like, negative and, like, consuming, like, the, what do they call it when you on a page and you talk to the, what is it called? It's a phrase for it.
A phrase? When
you're on a page and you're like talking junk about your something, I forgot what it's called, but it's like a whole, it's a term for it. I don't know. Anyway, I'll think of it.
Okay.
Trolling. There we go. Trolling. Because people troll. There we go.
Okay. Cool. Well, I'm going to be completely transparent. Kamala Harris was not my initial choice. I wanted Stacey Abrams. And I didn't want Kamala Harris for the simple fact of like her track record with different things, with her the things that she did with different policies. But I had to have a growth mindset once it was said, because at the end of the day, the bigger picture is we need to get this Cheeto out of the office. Cause he don't know what he did, him or his people. And they don't care anything about anyone. And for me, it shows, like, I was watching something, and that fool called that lady Pocahontas. He said she's nastier than Pocahontas. And I said, what is this man? Like, you're in the office. You have no decorum. You don't care what you say. You're running this like it's a talk show. Like, you're completely crazy. Like, everything that you're saying is beyond ignorant. And I knew that I needed to like talk to, I had other friends who were like, oh no, she not, da, da, da. And I was like, yeah, she probably did have some things then. But I used to be mean as shit 5-6 years ago. And if you were still looking at who I was 5 or 6 years ago, then you wouldn't know who I am now. So I don't know what all she did when she was the DA or whatever prior to. I don't know that person. I only know what she's doing, what she can do now, how she can help us now. And this is where I feel like we fall so short, that we don't have growth mindsets. We have those like little petty things like, oh, if you did something to me, then I'm not over it. What that? Like, if you don't like me, or if I ain't like you, or whatever, we meet each other, we say, hey, whatever, keep it going. And like, to me, she can, like you said, I want my nieces to be able to see somebody that looks similar to them, to go down in history and say like, oh, there was a Black man in office as the president, and we also had a Black woman as a vice president. Like, that representation, I feel like, is really something big that we need for our culture, and also just for the world in general, so that they understand that it's not just white people that can do or be anything. No shade to white people. I love everybody, but I'm just saying, you're not the only people in the world. There are people of other races and that are capable, just like you, are even more capable than you to do certain things.
To piggyback off what you said, I think that's what a lot of people, like you said, a lot of people are closed-minded when it comes to that, because they're looking at Kamala as the DA or the prosecutor. You know, but she stopped doing that in 2011. So she's literally been like transforming. And this is my thing, like, people like, oh well, she really locked Black people up and this and this and that. The woman had a job to do. At the end of the day, everybody, like Michelle Obama said on her speech Monday, everybody is not perfect. Nobody is perfect. So therefore, like, you would rather give President Cheeto a second term than hear what a woman who has made mistakes and worked toward rebuilding and making amends of her mistakes. You would rather still be in another hell 4 years? So I was like, y'all don't get it.
And I think, like, what's missing from the conversation is, like, especially since we're talking about Black women and, like, how it is for us to operate, like, I think that it's ignorant to think that she made those decisions, like, devoid of, like, pressure and devoid of, like, systemic issues. And even if that did have to do with, like, her own development and, like, where she was at that time. And I think, like, for me, like, that's it. Like, I totally agree with everything that y'all are saying in terms of, like, you know, what people do in the past and define them, but then I think there is a balance with, like, but we also need to be held, like, accountable for our actions that we take. But I think that, like, what we could look at is, like, more so how, like, just, like, assimilation, right? Like, people assimilate, people use certain terms and dress a certain way in order to, like, open up certain doors. And I think that what's unfair is, like, would she even be in the running now if she, like, hadn't had that track record? Like, would she had, like, would she be able to become, like, a senator or a congressman, like, everything? Like, would that have even happened, like, without her making those decisions? So I also just think that, like, yes, our past didn't define us, but, like, also let's talk about why she maybe had to make those kind of decisions in order to even get, like, where she was. Is it a pretty rope? No. But now, like we were saying, now we have more representation.
I want to touch on something that you just said, like the pressures of being a woman. I don't think people realize that there is, like, another level, like, to you being a woman. Like, there's so much that you have to
put. That's a whole type of energy. It's like,
it's different. And I don't think people really realize, like, what you have to put up with, right? Like, if you are getting into my career, I can remember people being in cliques, and I've never liked to be in cliques. Like, I'm not a cliquey person. And I remember losing a job because I refused to kiss the VPs, but with my manager. So I was, like, sort of sabotaged and, like, losing a job because of that. And they were like, well, oh, well, you didn't seem like you want to do da da da. And I was like, well, that's not a part of my job. It's not a part of my job to make invitations and do all this decorating and stuff for your grandkids so that you can send them these big to-do things. I'm not your do girl. I'm supposed to be in here creating mail, you know, to send out that I was a marketing coordinator. So I'm supposed to be creating mail, not in here making sure that you have, like, she wanted us to build, like, she was sending one of her grandkids to Paris for a birthday present. So she wanted to build, like, this Eiffel Tower and all this different stuff, whatever. And the manager was all for it, but she was the ass kisser. I wasn't raised that way. And I think that people don't realize, like, how much women have to put up with. Like, if you're not, you're either the angry Black woman, you stuck up, or she don't talk, she quiet, or she rude, or she mean. It's so many different stigmatisms that are put on you just for you being you. You could simply just be quiet, or you could simply just, when I first moved to Mississippi as a kid, I remember them saying, oh, she talks so proper, she talks so fast. And this was other Black kids saying that, right? Like, and those things are put on us. Like, I feel like I'm not discriminating against anybody else's race. I'm just talking about Black people, okay? Vergers, because I know I got some white Vergers, some Latino, Latinx Vergers. So don't feel discriminated against. Just happen to be talking about what I am and what we are, okay? But I can remember that happening to me as a kid and seeing, like, other Black kids doing it. Because when I was living in Chicago, my babysitter was a white lady. My best friend was a Haitian. Like, and we all got along. You know, it wasn't no problem. But when I got to Mississippi, it was like, why do you talk like that? You talk so proper, you this, you that. And it became, even now, like, people say, like, you think you this, you think you that. I just like to live differently. And maybe it was sort of like assimilation because I knew that I wanted to not stay in certain situations. You know, I didn't want to be in poverty. I wanted to have something different. What do you all feel about, like, being Black women and growing up and being forced or ridiculed for who you were or the things that you tried to do to produce a better life for yourself?
Do you want me to go? Okay. Yeah, so I totally agree with you. And you named, like, one of the stereotypes about, like, angry Black women. But I think that, like, it's also Jezebel, right? So, like, over-sexualized. I think that, like, that's another part of, like, one of, like, the stereotypes. You have, like, the nanny type of, like, asexual, but, like, taking care of, like, kids. And I think that, like, whether, like, consciously aware or not, like, those things impact, like, the perception of me, like, as a Black woman, as opposed to, like, someone of, like, a different race. And I, as far as, like, my earliest memory goes, my breasts developed, like, earlier than other kids. So in elementary school, it's not cool to have, like, boobs. Like, nobody wants to, like, have breasts. Like, it's just not cool. And I was, like, made fun of for that. And I think that, like, I then internalized that, like, okay, so you can be, like, sexy and, like that, or you can be, like, the smart person. And I think that, like, forced choice is something that now that I'm getting older, I'm understanding, like, actually, no, like, I can be, like, I can feel, like, comfortable in my sexuality. And, like, I can also, like, speak up in a meeting when I, like, disagree with something. And it's, like, not on me to, like, monitor how I'm being received. Even if it is just, like, oh, you know, here she go again. And if it was someone else, like, maybe it wouldn't be received like that. But I really think that it has to come from, like, a lot of unlearning about it in order for me to get, like, where I am today.
Tiffany,
you talking to us?
Oh, my phone was
mute. Yeah, that's what you said. You were on mute.
So, just to piggyback on you guys, I think a lot of that comes from by me being born and raised in the Mississippi Delta. You get bullied a lot. You either get bullied for, like, your mom being a nurse or a doctor or a teacher, and they think your mom makes X amount of money, or you get bullied vice versa for not having everything. And I think as Black women, we're just taught to, you know, it's just another thing of baggage we put on us. And as we get older, then we have to confront all that baggage. Like Alexa was saying, when she was younger in elementary, she developed quicker. Well, I was bullied because I wore glasses and I was skinny and I was tall. And, you know, so I had to learn how to be okay with that and not come off like angry or nothing like that when I was approaching them and telling them, like, hey, it's not cool you talking about me, you know, but this is me. But, you know, and you can call me an ugly duckling and all you want to, but guess what, now you in my inbox, so now you know. So it's crazy because, like, I think a lot of that comes from, like, kids, most definitely Black kids being bullied, Black young girls being bullied and just putting that on as baggage, and versus, you know, back in the day, our parents, like, oh, they just bullying you because they like you, or like a boy, he's just bullying you because he like you, or the girl's just bullying you because they're jealous of you, you know, versus just, you know, telling them, like, talking to your kid and being like, you know what, they're going to say what they want to say, they're going to feel how they want to feel, I need you to know that whatever you have going on, it's a growth thing. You know, you wear glasses now, okay, you're going to wear glasses later, but you get contacts. Yes, you're tall, But guess what? You can play sports, or you can be a model, or you can just have gorgeous legs. You can wear heels and look over people's heads, or whatever the case may be. And I think a lot of people in the Mississippi Delta, we just lived. We didn't really, like, really didn't talk to kids about, you know, being comfortable in their own skin. You know, they just wanted to be like, you know, oh, where either he likes you or they're jealous of you. And that's just that. Just get over it. And a lot of kids, and I think that that brings up like a lot of mental health issues, like insecurities and depression and anxiety, because people get bullied so much when they're younger, they're actually scared to go around a crowd, or they're scared to shoot their shot with a guy or a girl they like, or whatever the case may be. So I think all of that, not saying that parents didn't do a good job, but I think parents raised their kids based on how their parents raised them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I definitely think that it does, for sure. Even thinking about like, well, this is happening because of this. And I think something else that happens a lot, especially like in the Black community, is like this idea of like the politics of respectability. And you're already coming into a space with like things stacked against you. So you need to make sure that like you're dressed a certain way, or like your legs aren't out, or you hear stuff like, oh, she's fast, or like, you know, you need to like, don't like, your skirt is too short and things like that. And I think that like, unintentionally, the consequence then is like, it's on us to like monitor, like self-monitor. And like, also, I think we can develop some like shame around like our sexuality and around like monitoring ourselves. Even thinking about most recently, like the Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion track, and like the receptionist. That's a good segue. Okay, cool. So I'm gonna pass it back. No, I'm gonna pass it to you. So I was just gonna say that I think what's so powerful like about the song is like it is demystifying the sexual shame that like women need to feel, when like we all know that there's so many slob on my knob, like horn on my cock. This is it, right? So I just think that while I'm not like a huge Megan Thee Stallion fan, like I can appreciate the song because of like the sexual ownership and like liberation that it needs. And I think that like the negative backlash is like expected because like as Black women, it's like, yeah, like you can like, you need to be like sexy, but don't be like that sexy, or people already think this about us. And I just think that like you can demystify what it means to like own your sexuality. We can like break down, we can like, you know, blow it up for like what it means to be like respectable. And all those things like need to change. And I think that that song, I think it's like amazing that they're contributing to that.
Yeah, that was gonna be my next question, because I, when I was younger, I tried to do stuff because I didn't. Okay, so I'm just gonna be like completely over here. My mom had 8 kids. Now my siblings, my 2 older siblings had kids too. And like just, there were so many different things that transpired to get us to Mississippi that I thank God for this, but it, maybe it was something that was a gift and a curse. I understood the different things that were happening, and I understood that certain things were not well, certain things were not good. I understood that my mom before all of this was a different person, and then when all this other stuff started transpiring, she had to become somebody else. And part of that person, it wasn't that she wasn't a good person, but she was always on edge, right? Because she had 8 kids, trying to take care of 8 kids, help the grandkids, all that stuff, whatever, right? And like thinking about having to get put on welfare or anything like that scared the shit out of me. So I was like, I don't want no kids. So I would do stuff to try to like keep boys away from me, because I was like, I don't want, we ain't gonna, you know, we don't need to talk. And then my mama was so strict, I couldn't go nowhere but in the yard. So it was like, oh, she a lesbian, she did, she did, whatever. And it was like, no, bitch, I would love when I get old enough to have sex and enjoy it the way that I'm supposed to enjoy it. But right now, I'm not doing it because that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't want no baby. I'm not trying to be a teen mama. Shout out to the teen mamas. I know a lot of people that's out here doing it. But I wasn't trying to do that. So when I heard this song, I was like, what is she saying? And she was like, certified freak, 7 days a week. I was like, get it, Cardi. Like, I just feel like you said, we should be able to own whatever it is that we feel, sexually, mentally, whatever. But because there's so many stigmas on what a woman is supposed to be, then it's like, oh, you're supposed to be a freak in the sheets and a lady in the streets. No, I'm supposed to be me at all times.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? If I'm freaky and we riding in the car and I want to get freaky while we're in the car, be excited about it because I want to do that in the car.
Okay.
Like, be excited with
just
it.
Just don't wreck. Just don't wreck.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just don't wreck.
But I think it's, and that's the thing. Like, I think Black women, or just some women in general, they like, your parents don't teach you that sexuality because it's such a big stigma. It's like, no, we're not going to talk about sex because I don't want you going out there and experimenting. I don't want you to get pregnant. And okay, but if I'm curious, I would rather for you to talk to me about it and have that uncomfortable conversation than me going out there. And most kids go out there, and the first time, boom, they're catching AIDS or they're catching STD or they're getting pregnant or something like that. And I, to piggyback off Alexa, like, look at all the Two Live Crew and Uncle Luke and 3-6, like, they have been talking trash about they slob and, you know, you slobbing on them and like for decades. And with one song, for a woman to talk about her sexuality, be glad you got a woman that's comfortable in her sexuality. Because a lot of women aren't comfortable. And I think, you know, that, no shade to nobody, I think sometimes that's how people end up stepping out of their relationships or their marriage, because somebody's not comfortable in that, or the case may be. But, you know, that's not my business. That's neither here nor there. That ain't, you know, that's not my ministry. But my thing is this, I was just talking to a friend guy last night about, you know, sexuality. I said, it's funny how it's a double standard when it comes to sexuality. Men can say, oh yeah, I did this with this girl and that girl and da-da-da, all in college and stuff. But women can't do that. Like, if we are trying to live our best life in college or as a young adult, we got to sneak and do it, and we got to be careful with who we do it with, for the simple fact that it comes back to bite us. Because me, like, oh man, you shouldn't have messed with her, she a freak, she did this in college, she did that's 10 years ago, bro. Like, then none of us have a job, we was all on financial aid, we was still living with our mama, we was all huddling in one car trying to get to the store, you know, versus 10 years, 15 plus years later, whatever, man, I got a career, I'm on my own, I make my own money. Like, I'm a different person. Like, my pastor always said, different, you know, different ages come different levels. Mm-hmm. So, you know, throughout that, I'm like, it's just crazy how sexuality is a double standard when it comes to men and women. Like, 3-6 can go around all day, slob on my knob and da 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 da. But then Cardi B and Meg Thee Stallion come out with, you know, different little tricks and things like that on their videos, and man, I knew she was a hoe and da 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 da. And they just comfortable in their sexuality, and with them, that's what sells.
I don't understand why now it's so big. When I can remember Trina's All Glass, you don't know now, hoe. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't all those different songs. Like, what is so different about it now? And like, why is it that?
And it's crazy. Lil' Kim had the little cover with the little leopard two-piece on with her legs open. And it's like, everybody went crazy. Like, oh my God, she has all of her private out and her business out, and that's not ladylike, and she should be ashamed. Like, Kim paid the way for y'all motherfuckers. Like, let's just keep it real.
And I think part of the backlash was, like, because of where we are right now, like, as a country with like Black Lives Matter, like picking back up steam, and like as far as like the social justice. And I think part of it was like, this isn't the time, like we're trying to like change the narrative, and like we're fighting for equity. And I just think, again, like what can get lost in that conversation is like equity when it comes to like gender norms, like Tiffany was saying, the double standard. And like, in my opinion, like, this is actually the perfect time, because if we're gonna fight for like even like Black Trans Lives Matter, Trans Lives Matter. It's just like we also need to talk about how as a woman, not even just like that, my sexual like history shouldn't be judged more harshly than a man, but for a man to be able to speak what he enjoys and like does not enjoy, that shouldn't be any more valuable than me as a woman to say like, actually, like, I don't like when you like smack my ass that hard, I need you to do it just a little bit lighter. And like, there's nothing wrong with like being able to like express like what our needs are, like sexually, one. And then two, I think part of the backlash is from like, these young girls are listening to this song. Listen, this is grown folks' business. Don't listen to this song, okay? You shouldn't, if you are a 13, 14 year old girl, then like actually this song not for you. You could go listen to Baby Shark or something, okay? This is not for you. This is for consenting adults.
Because back in the day, man, you sung Anita Baker too hard to your mama. You probably getting back in the mouth like, what you know about the operator getting your baby on the line? What baby is this?
Okay.
So or what, like with Trina. Like, it's crazy.
We got about 5 more minutes left on our call. So before the call ends, I want to ask one more question and then get us to give our fast talk. Relationships. Why are we so unprotected in relationships? Like, I feel like dudes just, they just don't care about like how they treat women. You can be the sweetest woman to them. You can do whatever. I had a dude like call me and was like so sweet. It just did all this other stuff. And then like, yeah. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, nigga, like why are you so, I'm sorry. But like, why? I just don't understand. Like, they don't protect us. Like, I feel like if you want to be with somebody or you want to be a friend to somebody, whatever the case may be, I don't know why our men, any man, doesn't say like, hey, this is what I want, X, Y, and Z. I think Tiffany and I touched on this the last conversation we had when we were talking about entanglements. But like, they never want to be upfront and honest. And I feel like that's, again, them like trying to take our power. They want to be the powerful ones in the relationship and be like, oh, well, I didn't want to do this because I didn't want to hurt your feelings, or I did this, or I don't owe you that, or blah, blah, blah. But then you expect me to be X, Y, and Z way. What are y'all
right. So I think it's based off of like the different eras, like in life, like back, like doing right back toward like the 50s and the 60s, like you had guys coming up asking to go out on dates and opening doors and flowers and, you know, treating a woman the way she's supposed to be treated. But then you got into different eras and it's like, you know, oh man, it seems like to me, men wait for Black women to be their last resort. Like, especially like college, like you go to college and stuff, you seeing different nationalities, you seeing people come from Canada, you know, you seeing Asian, you're like, oh yeah, da, 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 da. And then when they treat you like trash, well, I know a Black woman, she gonna have my back, and this and that. No, like, you're not gonna treat me like street booty, but you'll hold her hand in public, but you calling me at night. And like, my thing is, like, when it comes to like stuff like that, I think it's just based off like being taught. When it comes to, like I said, like doing civil rights movements, there was nothing a Black man wouldn't do to protect a Black woman. At all costs, that was their thing. Make sure you protect Black women, because the quote says behind every Black man is a strong Black woman. But you would never know that if you over there with Karen and Karen dad and them don't like you.
Mm-hmm. And you fight hard to prove that you can be in that place.
Right. So that's what really, like, don't get me wrong, you can't help who you love. Now, if you fall in love with a white woman, that's fine, or an Asian woman, or whatever the case may be, whoever you fall in love with is fine. My biggest thing is, if you fall in love with them, don't knock no Black woman, because a Black woman had you. You know, Black women raised you. Black women pretty much raised America, if you want to just take it there. Because even in slavery, guess what? Guess who was watching the master keys?
The master keys.
See what I'm saying? So it's crazy that, you know, people would, Black men would go so far to try to like disrespect a black woman or not protect a black woman when a black woman at the end of the day is all you know.
Okay.
Yeah, and I know we're short on time, so yeah, I'm gonna respond and then I'm gonna close out with my fast thing. So I think two things for reason why for the mistreatment. Number one, like the disposability that comes from like social media and different dating apps, because people have thousands of women at their fingertips. And then number two, I think that as women, we need to let go of this ride or die mentality, because we're accepting and putting up with things that we shouldn't. My sad closeout would be like, you tell people how to treat you and no one's gonna love you unless you love yourself. Lastly, like, you need to fill your cup up until it runs over, and then you will not be giving your gallon-sized love to pint-sized people.
Yes.
Say that. Tiffany?
My sad quote is just, you know, at the end of the day, be comfortable with you, whether it's mentally, physically, sexually, just be comfortable with you. Give the world what you are, because no one can ever be another you.
Awesome. Well, ladies, what do y'all think about doing a part two of this one day next week?
I'm down.
I'm good.
Okay, so we're going to do a part two of this, Virgins, and we're going to actually try to bring some men on the call to join in on the conversation. I appreciate you ladies so much. Thank y'all so much for jumping on. I text Alexa today and she rearranged her schedule to be on here tonight, Virgins, to be with us. I'm so grateful and thankful for that. And I think I text Tip late too. So I appreciate you ladies so much. And thank y'all for y'all great insight. The conversation was awesome. And we're going to text later on and plan this. Thank you all so much for watching tonight. And we'll be back next Friday. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.